Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, because we seek not our own, we seek not our glory, we seek not our honor. But we seek your glory, we seek your honor, we seek your will, and it is an honor for us to seek your honor. It is our utmost desire, Heavenly Father, to expand your kingdom and to be laborers in your vineyard. And we call the harvest in, O Heavenly Father. And now we pray in the name of Jesus that you empower each and every person who is here, whose heart is willing. That you empower us, O Father, to stand in that place that you have called us to be, and to be a part of this end-time harvest. Now, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, because heaven is manifest on earth. And I thank you, Lord, because with one heart, it is our desire that you come on this earth and that you redeem your own, even as it is prophesied. Now, Father, we thank you because we shall stand in that place which you want us to stand in. As we walk in this army, this great army of the end, that is unlike any army, an army that is greater than the army that started the church. We are that special people whom you've presented for this moment. Now I thank you, Father, because it is not by power nor by might, but by your spirit. And now we shall not frustrate your spirit, we shall stand in cooperation with your spirit, and we shall accomplish your purpose, because your purpose has to be accomplished. Because you have set your church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 9. Now all the people were in dispute throughout the tribes of Israel, saying, "The king saved us from the hand of our enemies. He delivered us from the hand of the Philistines, and now he has fled from the land because of Absalom, who is his son. But Absalom, whom we anointed over us, has died in battle. Now therefore, why do you say nothing about bringing the king back?" Leave it there. So Absalom, you know what Absalom represents, and that is rebellion. Okay? Rebellion from within. But now Absalom has died. And now actually Absalom has died. And now the children of Israel say, "Why are you saying nothing about bringing the king back?" Now you see, all these stories are of course symbolic. Now the real bringing the king back is about the return of Jesus Christ. Okay? The son of David. Now here it's about bringing King David back. And they say, "Why are you saying nothing, seeing as the time of rebellion and separation and everybody having their own thing within the church has come to an end? So now when it comes to an end, then it is time for the king to come back." Now, of course, we've spoken, some time ago, I remember I told you that the return of the Lord is so much dependent on what happens here on earth. Amen? Now, that is also true for the unveiling of the Antichrist. There has to be a conducive environment in the place where he's going to be unveiled. Now, the thing is, sometimes when you read these things, you get the feeling that the people who are trying to make ready for the Antichrist seem to be readier than those who are trying to make ready for Christ. And I told you here last week, that man who was saying they are going to create a mind net. Okay? You are all here. But, you see, the internet is a means by which computers are connected. Okay? Using something which is wireless. Now, the mind net he's talking about is a means by which minds are connected using something which is wireless. Now, all it requires for the mind net to happen as they planned it and as they are trying to push it is something inside your body
which will also be called the mark of the beast. Now, if they can have that thing, of course, if it's not in your body, there is no way they can just link your mind up. You understand? Eh? But if you put that thing, which is the size of a grain of rice, very small, and installed with minimum pain. Now, of course, there is a lot of things which are happening, which are a preamble to the actual unveiling of the mark of the beast. And it's called wearable technology. People putting on stuff in their bodies and you know, it's cool, eh? It's cool. You just walk into, you know, and share. The other day, Amazon started its first ever supermarket where you don't go through the tills. So you just go and pick up items and put in your thing. And there is technology to read your credit card from the wallet. And it's there in Arizona. So you just pick up what you want from the supermarket. And of course, when you pick it up and put it in your trolley, it is registered. So when you've shopped and you finish shopping and the things you've shopped are worth, let's say, 400K, you just ride your trolley out and go to your car. And it's as you go through, the amount of money is taken off your credit card while it's in the wallet. You understand? Now, I saw even if you change your mind and put the thing back, it will still, if it had charged you, it will uncharge you. You understand? Eh? It's flawless. So even if you decide you want 3 tins of Blue Band, and then you say, no, maybe 1 is enough, you put back the 2, it will charge you for just the 1. It will not charge you for the rest. Because somehow it recognizes that you put back the rest. So, and it's all, now, do you see how convenient all this thing is? Eh? But you know, now for this mindnet, which is actually the real mark of the beast. Now, you see, when you read in the book of Daniel that knowledge will increase, eh? You don't realize how much knowledge has increased to the point that people can now completely decode what your mind is thinking through a computer. But of course, right now, they have to connect things to your brain here and then, you know, to the computer. But then it will become wireless. And then all it will require is some technology inside your hand, inside your right hand or your forehead. You know the drill. Now, of course, if they can upload anything, as that man said, we can even upload a holiday, which you do not have. And you come and start telling people how you are at Miami, yet you've never been there. But in your memory, you've been there. And you're sure you'll be there. Now, if they can do that, of course, then it means they will program your mind to think like them. And then suddenly you have no control over what you think. Now, that is the real mark of the beast. But you see, now, very few people understood how far these things have gone until, like, I come and show you. How many people knew last week that we had gone this far in all this thing? That now they can create a mind net where everybody, they are controlling you from a computer somewhere centrally. Most probably in Brussels. Because I think that's about where and then the world becomes the things that mean a lot to us. So if you fall in love with somebody's daughter and he does not want you to have her, he just unplugs those love feelings from you. Then you look at her the next day and say, I don't have I seen you somewhere? And like things which, you know, simple things, eh, which make us human, now they turn us into technology. You understand? And it looks so. And the teenagers will love it. The teenagers will love it. Of course, they will love it because they have been programmed by movies to love it. But you see, if you want to know the world we are living in, last week a story dominated the headlines. And it was a very touching story of a young kid who was born with some kind of degenerative brain sickness and was put on life support at a very tender age and was permanently on life support. Now, the doctors in the UK decided that it was pointless keeping the kid on life support because the kid was not going to get better anyway. And of course, it takes resources to keep somebody, you know, alive at that. So they said, why don't we? So they went to court, requesting court to give them permission to unplug the life support and let the child die in its best interests. Now, the parents did not fought the court case and fought brilliantly for their child to be alive because they said the child wants to live. You never know what could happen. So They fought, but a judge ruled that it's in the best interests of the child that it dies. Now, that's not the worst part. The worst part is a hospital, that was in the UK, a hospital in Rome said that you bring the child, will keep it on life support at no cost to the parents. So perhaps it's okay for court to rule that instead of wasting resources on a kid who is not going to get better, let's use them on people who are going to get better. Now, at least that makes some sense, although it might not be very, a very human thing. But now, somebody calls and says, okay, you bring the child to Italy, to a hospital in Rome, which apparently seemed to be better at handling such cases, and they said, we'll keep the child alive at no cost to the parents or to anybody. Then there was one small problem. The child is a British citizen. So Italy even gave the child Italian citizenship while on its bed to facilitate the move to Italy to keep it alive. But once the ruling was made, the parents were refused from taking their child. Actually, even the Pope offered to send medical transport, a plane to come and pick the child, to take it to Rome, to keep the child alive. But they refused. And they had policemen guarding the hospital to make sure that the parents don't take the child away where it can be kept alive. And then they unplugged the child from life support, and they said it could only live at most a few hours. The child lived 5 days fighting for life, but eventually died because they would not allow the parents to. The judge has said the child should die. So do you see the world in which you are getting into? I mean, who gives the judge the right to decide life and death? But you see, it made news, and the parents begged the judge that we don't need your resources. Let us go to Rome. Somebody has offered us free. But they refused. And they actually had policemen guarding the child to die. Now, that's the world in which we are living. And no, it's going to get worse. Do you understand? Eh? Okay, I mean, I know maybe some of these things are not very uplifting stuff. Eh? But, we have to know them anyway. Because it's going to get worse. Now, what kind of inhumanity is that? You see, the world was deceived that somebody can be good without God. There is no good without God. Once people take God out of their system, they become beasts. You cannot be good without God. When people say that, no, morality is inside us, we can be, we have the ability to be moral without God and what, that is the biggest lie of the devil. Eventually, people become heartless, completely heartless. Now, who even does something like that? Guarding a child who has been given a death sentence for the crime of being sick. And even the parents tried, they pleaded until the child died. 5 days after the life support was removed, after the doctor had said it would take just a few hours, that child wanted to live. But the judge decided the child should die. Now, you see, some of you people admire those bazungu systems. Eh? But we have to fight to make sure that our society remains what? Humane. Governed by simple things which mean something. I mean, what kind of society is that? And you think they are developed? They are stupid fools. I mean, what kind of society is that? I mean, we are much, much better than them. You think because they have high buildings and good roads that... I mean, there is more to life than all that. Do you understand? But you see, somehow they have programmed us to think that everything they do is good. Man, how I despise that system. Eh? I wish you knew. I totally despise it. Eh? It would take the Lord Jesus coming to me in flesh for me to live and go and stay in some of those countries. He would even have to come in the flesh and say, Kableta, go and stay in America. I'm telling you, I totally despise those. Okay, America maybe, eh? Now that there is Trump and what. Eh? But those Europe, I mean, that's the seat of the Antichrist. What is good there? Praise the Lord. So, I don't think we appreciate what we have here. Because at least we have not degenerated to that kind of stupidity. And we shall not. Because the church is strong here. Eh? Now, in places where the church becomes weak, you see what happens. A president wakes up and says, 6,000 churches stopped until the pastors go and get a degree in theology. And they can't do anything. But you see, we have to pray for them. Amen? We have to be our brother's keepers. Because there are people there who love the Lord, but somehow they have been denied their basic right of worship. The freedom of worship, the freedom of assembly. Even the United Nations, which is an evil organization, has that law. The right to worship, to assemble as you feel fit, to express your faith. That is a right, according to the UN. 1948 Charter. But somehow somebody says no, unless you have a degree in theology. Let those who have degrees in theology start their churches. And those who don't have, start their churches. And let's see who has more people. But anyway, it's like saying you need a degree in business administration to open a business. Certain things cannot be put down. I mean, okay, doctor, yes, I know that. But lawyer, what, I know that. But there are certain things which you cannot subject to professional, you know, things. So you can't do business unless you have a degree in business administration. Who told you? Let those who have business administration start their business. And the illiterates in Chikubo start theirs. And we see who will thrive. Praise the Lord. But you see, now we have to understand certain things. If we are going to avoid going down that path, there are certain things we have to understand. And which are at the heart of what God is telling us right now. Praise the Lord. Now, as we go into the process of bringing the king back, okay? But Absalom, who we anointed over us. Now imagine these people actually got, and now these things happen. Somebody comes with some kind of rebellion, and the masses anoint Absalom as king over them. But then a time comes when Absalom can no longer stand because the church is getting stronger. And now there are so many Absaloms who are not going to be able to stand, okay? As churches get stronger. And now, when the Absalom gets out of the way, then the church says, now I think it's time for us to bring the king back. Okay. Why do we say nothing about bringing the king back? Go to the next verse. So King David sent to Zadok and Abiathar the priest, saying, speak to the elders of Judah, saying, why are you the last to bring the king back to his house? Since the words of all Israel have come to the king, even to his very house. Now, the king is telling his brethren, because he's from the tribe of Judah, that why are you the ones who are not allowing me to come back? Why are they not allowing him to come back? Because the tribe of Judah, or the brethren, okay, of the Lord, are the church. Now, the church has to be a certain way for the king to come back. Now, in Revelation, it says the spirit and the bride say what? Come. Now, the spirit has to be in agreement, in total agreement with the bride. And then the stage is set for the king to come back. Praise the Lord. Now we want the king to come back. But he's saying, why are you the ones who are delaying the return of the king? How are we delaying the return of the king? You know, there are certain things which people do not understand. Now, it is not up to the king to decide when he's coming. Did you know that? Certain things have to come. The scripture says in Matthew 24:14, what does it say? That, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Then will the end come. Is the gospel going to be preached by Jesus? Who is going to preach the gospel? So now, who is stopping the king from coming back? You understand? Now, in 1 Peter, okay, it's actually 2 Peter 3:11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Let's start from verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Now, I want you to imagine that every good thing here is going to be burned up. Now, that will help you give you a sense of purpose. All these things here for which people strive are all going to be burnt up. That doesn't mean you shouldn't try to get them. But that should not be the ultimate purpose. Get them knowing they are going to be burnt up. Amen? Reminds me of, you know, just because something is temporary doesn't mean it's not necessary. Reminds me of a joke my father used to tell over and over again, and he would laugh every time he says it. And it was a joke of a man who was traveling with his servant on a long journey. So they woke up one morning, and the man told his servant, "Can you please shine my shoes for me?" Then the servant said, "But master, what's the point in shining them? We are going to be walking in the dust, and they will soon be dusty again." So the master said, "Okay, that's okay. We will not, you leave them." So he put them on dusty. So they walked, and they stopped for lunch. And the master ate alone. Then he told the servant, "What's the point in eating when you're going to be hungry again?" So I guess the guy said, "Bring the shoes, I shine them." "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" Okay? "Looking for and hastening." Now, hastening means what? Quickening. The return of the Lord. Which means it's not a set date. You can make it quicker, you can make it slower. Amen? So, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. So imagine, he's telling you to hasten the time when your house is going to be burnt up. Why? Because, of course, for you, you know you are going to get, something more powerful. But you see, the thing is, when people, as I've told you here before, the reason people do not have a sense of direction and purpose is because they don't have a sense of how temporary everything here is. Do you understand? Like you die, as some people who have had those experiences say, and your whole life is like dissolved into like a dream, like a distant dream you had. And the only reality that is there. So if it is hell, that's it. And you know that this is the end of everything. There is no hope here. This is like the finality of it. And now all the life and the things which people struggle for, it's all dissolved. It's like a dream. Like, you know, you have a dream. Eh? Actually, the Bible says it. Eh? Like, you go to sleep when you're hungry, and you dream, and behold, you're eating, and they have served you with a feast, and you're busy eating. And then you wake up, and it was only a dream, and you're hungry. It says it somewhere in the book of Isaiah. So, you imagine, like, your whole life, the people struggle. And by the way, let me tell you, people can be deceived. Eh? And, like, there is something that gets a hold of people's mind. And you know the world runs on deceit. And when somebody, that thing, now they were telling me this old man, whatever he's called, Seban. The man died with more than 100 land titles. But when he needed treatment to go abroad, they begged him to sell one piece of land and he refused. But he's going to die. What gets into people's heads? Eh? Like they told him, you need to go abroad for treatment. So sell one piece of land. The man said, no. He wants to see the land until he dies. And now you see, it's not just, there is a way the devil can get people's minds. And like, you even lose a basic sense of reasoning. What's the land going to benefit you when you're dead? But you see, the scripture says in Ecclesiastes that those who love silver will never get tired of silver. And it's like a curse. You want money too much, okay, you will not get tired of it. So you spend all your years struggling, and never once enjoying it. And guess who enjoys it? People wait for you to die and they have a blast. He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. Can you imagine when you cannot be satisfied? Like, that's a curse. Do you understand? Eh? Because you're piling land titles until you die. And there's a pile of land titles. Eh? Now I'm sure almost all of them are gone. Sometimes when your children don't eat those things. But you see, the world runs on deceit. Eh? Now, there are certain things which amaze me. And they happen before us, and it looks like a joke. But it's not a joke. So, And if you even suggest it, you sound like you're crazy. And they will make you look like you're crazy. But actually, you might be right. And it will say conspiracy and all that. Now, the other day, Mark Zuckerberg was in an interview, said, you know, when I was still human, then he laughed. He said, I'm still human, but then it passes. But you don't realize that some of those top people have already taken this thing and they have gone on to the next level. You understand? Then you look at the guy and he looks funny. But you see, they put him out there as a hero. And then if he was alone, you'd say, okay. Then the next minute, Oprah also says, when I was still human. You know, eh?
Yeah.
Then the Queen of England posted on their website of the kingdom that we are not humans. Me and my family. Then they tore it down after 2 days. I mean after 2 hours. But people had already taken screenshots of it. And it's there on the internet. You can go and look for it. So now, what possibility is there that all these people are making mistakes? Especially since there's some guy who interviewed the lady who was a very good friend of Diana, the Princess of Wales. And she was saying how all those guys are. Like they are bad lizards. Okay, weird things. Eh? But which cannot be repeated here, but there is a very good likelihood that they are true. Do you understand? Eh? Because remember, it says the Antichrist is the son of the devil. Now he's some kind of alien being. Like the sons, like the children who were born in Genesis 6, when the sons of God or the angels came and, you know, connected themselves to human. So the Antichrist has that same thing. And it's going to come from that thing. And now, that lady was quoting Diana saying how she was brought into the palace and told, you're here for the sole purpose of giving birth to the heir of the throne. Don't expect any serious marriage here. Just come and give birth. And if you look, they select her from a dynasty of Merovingian kings. You go and study these things. Some of them, if I started telling you here, they would be too boring. Because they are too academic. But there is a dynasty where they select you because you're going to give birth to an heir, and that heir has to have a certain bloodline in them. So you're hand-picked for that purpose. Do you notice that they give birth one after the other? Even this one who is married now to Diana's son. 3 children in almost 4 years. When did they get married? Now, after the children are done, don't be surprised when there is a divorce. Because now you've served your purpose. Eh? Now it's time for you to what? To exit. But even when you exit, there are certain standards you have to keep. You cannot go and start dating an Egyptian man like Diana was doing. Or you'll die in an accident. And that applies to all kingdoms, by the way. Because you go and desecrate a kingdom. Because there was even talk she was pregnant with an Egyptian guy. So how is the king of England going to have a brother who is from Egypt? You're desecrating people's kingdoms. So you die in an accident. Praise the Lord. So let's go back to the other. Where we are in the other scripture. Speak to the elders of Judah saying, why are you the last to bring the king back to his house? Since the words of all Israel have come to the king, to his very house. You are my brethren. You are my bone and my flesh. Why then are you the last to bring the king back? Now that is written to you. Praise the Lord. That is written to from the king, saying, you are my brethren. You are my bone, you are my flesh. You should not be the last to bring the king back. Because the king wants to come back. But he has to come back under certain conditions. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. And said to Amasa, are you not my bone and my flesh? God do so to me, and more so also, if you are not commander of the army before me continually, in the place of Joab. So the king swayed the hearts of all the men of Judah, just as the heart of one man, so that they sent this word to the king, return, you and all your servants. Now, swayed the hearts of all men, that all men were in agreement. Praise the Lord. Now, you know this is what it's going to take for the king to come back? For the church to be in agreement. Now, all the divisions that have been caused and all those things. And people, you know, the Absaloms and all those. Now, that is dying. the church is going to be in agreement. And what makes them be in agreement? When there is unity of purpose. When we all understand that the number one cause of disagreements is when people start pursuing worldly goals. And the number one cause of unity is when we all understand that all these things are going to end. And the only thing that matters is what you did in the kingdom. Praise the Lord. And now for us, there are people who talked that long time ago. But now we are talking in our lifetime, a few years from now. So how can you be deceived to the point that you don't understand that it is all going to end soon? And when that moment comes, the only your reality will be what you did, you know, what you did in the kingdom. And that is going to state your reality for eternity. Praise the Lord. Now that is a sobering thought. Now when people start thinking like that, then they have unity of purpose. Because then you know I'm supposed to. You cannot fight a fellow brethren when you know you're fighting in the same kingdom and for the same purpose. And now the unity is what creates dominion, true dominion. Now you see, when you talk about dominion, people start thinking certain things about what we have not yet known. But you see, Jesus says, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. How can the Lord tell us to be like serpents? Doesn't he know what serpents represent? But you see, there are certain things which, in the kingdom of darkness, which you have to learn from. Like the word is, first of all, when I read and I hear even these people, what they are doing, they are determined. They set their life out. They are very rich, but they are setting their life out for a purpose to fulfill the will of their master. And they are going to be rewarded with hell. And the children of God are living like it ends here. Like this is all that matters. Do you understand? Now when I see the way those people can give their life to a cause and even set deadlines and say, by this time, we have to have done this. I say, man, that's why the Lord said that the children of this generation are wise. I mean, of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of the kingdom. Because they have a certain sense of purpose. Now, those are the things which you learn from them. Then, also dominion. Now, dominion means you have people in every place. You can just make a phone call to get what you want. You understand? In this place, we have so-and-so. In this place, we have so-and-so. Now, that is dominion. But dominion is not created when a believer gets in a position of authority and starts saying, for me, for us, we are, merit employers. We are a merit employer. We only employ on merit. Then you go and give a job to a Muslim because you're a merit employer. You're a fool. You're a fool. You're not a merit employer. You're a fool. God is not a merit employer. Why would he call Moses, who cannot even speak, and he calls him to go and talk to Pharaoh? The guy even stammers. Is that merit? Why would he choose Jacob, who is a muferi? Is he a merit employer? Why would Jesus choose fishermen when they are theological people? Is that merit? How can you go for a fisherman and say, now you are the one who is going to change this world? You found the guy fishing. Is that merit? So if you're a merit employer, you're a fool. The scripture says in Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Does that sound like merit? So if you are the one employing, you have to give one of your own. That is in the, am I the one who wrote those words? So then, you're surrounded by, now let me tell you, you'll be surrounded by people whom you've given so-called merit, and they are fighting you. Yet you could have put on one of the household of faith. And then you fill that organization with people like you. Then everybody, now I've seen people who know how to do those things. Where even there is a, you know, like a fellowship at work. And even people who are not born again come because that's the way of getting promoted. Now that's what they call dominion. Where people even have to, there's an organization where they told me they would have these, you know, end of year parties. And when the boss is there, everybody is drinking a soda. But because she's known to leave early, as soon as she leaves, then whiskeys and what come out. But you see, that is dominion, where people have to fit into your mold. Now you have dominion. How do you do it? By bringing people who are like you. Now, the scripture clearly says you should do that. Now, that's what being wise as a serpent. Do you see how, do you know how this organized? I told you about the Jesuits, eh? And how they do their thing. They infiltrate, start from down, and work their way up. By the time they have a Jesuit pope, they are in total control of the Catholic Church. Total control. Because they started from down, join priesthood and what? And just, it takes them a while. Now, by the way, not everybody who is part of you should also, should be known. Eh? You see, there are people who are part of this revolution who are supposed to be known like me. Eh? But not everybody is, by known I mean where you're clearly associated with it. Eh? But some people are quiet. And they are supposed to be quiet by the will of God. Eh? Where the, it's not, you don't also, you don't come out. But even in your quietness, you're actually doing the will of the, you're pushing the purpose of your kingdom. You understand? Eh? But quietly, because if you come out, you will actually attract unnecessary attention. But you stay there quietly and do your thing. Eh? And people don't understand how even the office messenger, even the cleaner, even what, everybody is born again. But you're there quiet. They don't understand how, you know, if you need a, if you're outsourcing a legal firm or what, all of them are born again. You don't make a lot of noise, eh? You just do and do it quietly. If you say no, we have to, then you get attract attention. But you know you can make a lot more havoc without that's what it means being wise as a serpent. A serpent cannot fight when it is here. I've told you that before, eh? You put a snake here, it is powerless. But you put it under your seats there. Then you shoo, like it operates under, eh? Where there is darkness, where there is cover, eh? And that's where it's most effective. So Jesus said, be wise as serpents. Who said that? Yeah, he doesn't he know what serpents represent? Yeah, but he said, be wise as serpents. Now, so there is a calling for us to be wise as serpents. Now, I'll tell you that you go in Matthew chapter 27. You hear people saying, that is dominion. So make sure you have people, your people in different places. When you call and say, we need a license for this, and the license comes up after, and they say, it takes three weeks, over 3 months, and what, and you get it in 3 hours. That's dominion. Some of you say, no, that breaks the law, and what? Which law? Whose law? You see, until you understand that the law of God supersedes every stupid law here, eh? Then you will not be a member of the kingdom of God. These laws mean nothing. So the disciples are told, you're forbidden to preach in the name of Jesus. Then they look at them and laugh and say, now look at these people. You decide for yourself if we are supposed to listen to you or to God. Now, a religious Christian will say, no, you have to obey the law because the scripture says, you know, Romans 13, obey the law. It says that. But if the laws are not against your kingdom, if they are against your kingdom, then you do what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You frustrate the word of the king. Now, some people in a neighboring country will have to frustrate the word of a king. Eh? Praise the Lord. Matthew 27, verse 57. Now, when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. Now, nobody knew Joseph as one of the believers. But a time came when his authority and his wealth is needed. Because do you know that here Jesus had to be put in a new tomb to fulfill scripture? But for that to happen, there shows up somebody who, you're not one of us. Who told you I'm not one of you? He was one of you all along, but he was quiet. Now, Peter cannot go to Pilate and say, give me the body of Jesus. He does not have that clout. Okay? But a rich man comes who was a disciple, but nobody knew him. Now that's dominion, eh? So the guy comes and goes, because for him he's rich and he has clout. He goes to Pilate and says, give me the body of Jesus. And Pilate gives him the body. Now the disciples of Jesus could not do that. For them they were preaching or whatever they were doing. Praise the Lord. So he gets it and puts it in a new tomb to fulfill scripture. But he was there all along. So Jesus had what? Dominion. He has his people there. We have our people. So now Jesus is dead. The disciples are confused. They don't know what to do. They need somebody who knows what to do and who can go and make things happen. Praise the Lord. Now this is now what we have to learn. Because you know, a lot of us here are hearers of the word, but not doers. Now, whatever it is, even if the job you have is for your house girl, Dominion, put there one who is going to be praying with you. You're growing the kingdom that way. And that is being wise as serpent. Because things happen wherever you put your foot. Make your presence be known by the people who are around. Influence, do whatever it has to take to get, you know. Now you're there giving Muslims jobs. There are people here who don't have jobs. And they say, we're a merit employer. The guy is going to fight you himself. And then you come and say, pray for me. Praise the Lord. Like even the Buakeds. Now the problem is the children of this world understand the laws of dominion. Very well. When one of those guys comes into an, he will try to make sure that all the people who are there are like him. You come there and you're praying. I remember sometime I went to see some guy who is one of these guys who was a presidential candidate in this past president's whatever. So I went to his office. So the guy wasn't there. So I told one of his secretaries there. I told him that when he comes, you call me. So the guy came and I went there. So as I sat outside there, I was waiting to see him. This is some time ago. Then I started praying in tongues. Now, I sat there for about quite some time, and they told me, wait, there's somebody inside. When he comes out, you can go in. Then after some time, I started praying in tongues. The moment I started praying in tongues, the guy jumped and came. What do you want? What do you Man. Man, I was in shock. Because, of course, these are witchcraft. These are deep witchcraft people. Like, they sensed something had entered the atmosphere. Which was the guy, he was seeing a big person inside there. But he left him and came because I was praying in tongues. So I told him what I wanted and he told me come back tomorrow. I didn't even go back because I realized I didn't want to deal with him anyhow. But the thing is, like, do you think such a person can employ you that when you're born again? He will not. So why do you want to employ somebody who is not born again? When it is in the power of your hands to give that job to somebody like you. Praise the Lord. So Joseph shows up from nowhere and they need him for that purpose. Now in the book of Daniel, now if you understand Daniel, you will know that, I've told you this before, that the book of Daniel is about the end time from start to finish. Now Daniel and his friends Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were examples of how we are supposed to live in the end time. And come and dominate a kingdom. I mean, this is there will never be any more powerful, probably until the Antichrist, but the most powerful Gentile kingdom ever. And is being dominated by Jews because they understood the laws of dominion. And they are not too difficult. Now, if you go to Daniel chapter 2, verse 247, we'll start from there. It says, the king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings, and the revealer of secrets. You know what happened before that. Since you could reveal this secret, then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts. And he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Now listen, now Daniel also petitioned the king and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Now, Daniel does not just stop by going there being alone. Since now the king is already falling flat in front of him and this is his come moment. So he says, okay, if you promoted me, I want you also to promote the and so, and so, and so, and so, and so, and so. At that moment, the king can't say no. Can he? So Daniel surrounds himself with his colleagues. And together, I told you before about how powerful the province of Babylon was. Now, together, these four Hebrew guys dominate the richest province. By just knowing how to position themselves. Now, actually, there were so many other captives of Judah who came. But many of them, when Daniel and his three friends separated themselves, many of them actually joined within the empire. But eventually, Daniel and his friends started bringing them into positions of authority. Now, that is not in the Bible, but it's in, you know, those historical things. Eh? Daniel starts promoting them, bringing them. So after some time, people wake up and their kingdom is being ruled by Jews. And these are supposed to be captives, but they're the ones ruling. Daniel is the head over all the province of Babylon. And his three friends are surrounding him. Praise the Lord. What is that called? Dominion. So now it is done. And now those people, they will always try to fight you. Now in the reign of Darius, where also Daniel had dominion, in Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over these, three governors, of whom Daniel was one. Now you see, the kingdom changed. This is no longer Nebuchadnezzar. After Nebuchadnezzar, there was Belshazzar. And then after Belshazzar, okay, there were a few others there who were very brief. But anyhow, now the kingdom of Babylon is separated. Now there is the Medes and the Persians. Now Darius is the king or the emperor of the Medes. So now Daniel has to start working his way up again. Now previously he was the head. Now he's one of only three. Okay? Daniel is one of the satraps. That satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Now you see people even notice that now this guy cannot be handled. He has the favor of the king and he has an excellent spirit. Now it's clear the guy is going to make him top of us. So you know the whole story. You know how they hatched their plot. Eh? So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the laws of his God." So these governors and satraps thronged the king and said to him, "King Darius, live forever." When somebody starts like that, you just chase them away. All the governors of the kingdom and the administrators and satraps and the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever petitions any god or any man for 30 days, except your king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, we know the whole story, so let's not get there. So the decree was set, and the king trapped himself in that whole thing. Verse 24. And the king gave command, you know how Daniel, den of lions and what. Now the king gave command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives. I don't know why these people did these things. It wasn't easy to be married those days, eh? To fools like this. Eh? Can you imagine you were not involved? They come home and find you cooking matoke. And they take you to the den of lions. Eh? And even your children. Can you imagine? Eh? And they cast them into the den of lions, their children, their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. And his dominion shall endure to the end." How did King Darius know about God's dominion? From Daniel. Okay? Did he know God? No, he knew Daniel. And that was enough to say, now the God of this man, his dominion shall never end. Okay? He delivers and rescues, he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus, the Persian. Now, these were two different kingdoms. But, okay, Cyrus was the king of the Persians and Darius was the king of the Medes. But when Darius met Cyrus, he was with Daniel. And told Cyrus that, "You see this man? This is the man who even lions could not touch." So Cyrus looked at him and said, looked and wondered, "What's so special about this person?" So actually, that's the point at which Daniel told Cyrus that, "Do you know that in our books, there is a prophecy concerning you?" And Cyrus said, "What's the prophecy?" So he pulled out for him things which had been at that time around 200 years. So he pulls out these things which were written by Isaiah in chapter 45 and shows him about what it says about Cyrus, the king of the Persians, how he is going to restore Israel. And when Cyrus read it, he was so excited, and he actually issued a decree that now the Jews should go and rebuild their city and their temple. Just because now, you see, Daniel's dominion spread from one kingdom to the next. Eh? And even was used to. Now my point is, if there's going to be dominion, somebody has got to stand up and say, my allegiance is to the kingdom, even more so than to my household. Jesus said that, didn't he? He says, he who loves his father, mother, what, more than me, is not worthy of me. Who said that? So your allegiance, and he also went on to say, a man's enemies will be those of his household. Now, if you want to know what that means, you wait until the reign of the Antichrist, if you're still here, which you shouldn't. Where, if any of your relatives, even your father, if he has taken the mark of the beast and you haven't, you are his enemy. They will come and search you out, and you'll be the one showing them where you are. Where you either take the mark or you're killed. And that's your father. Because the allegiance will be to their kingdom. Now here, people want the allegiance to be to, you know. No, you are not worthy. If you are going to actually have dominion, you have to know that even if, this is a tough saying, if somebody is not of the kingdom, even if they are your relative, the kingdom comes first. Now, if you actually start putting that into practice, and you, now let me tell you, do you see some of you here? Do you know the people who come here, some of whom are just quiet here and what? But they're in positions of dominion. And they can actually do a lot. Okay, I'll even start with small things. For instance, when I say here that God told me to go and teach in schools, I expect some people who are teachers here to come and say, come and start with our school. That's what dominion is. Now, you want me to go and start knocking on headmaster's doors? Can you please allow me to preach? Some people are supposed to facilitate it. And if they do, they get the same reward. But they don't understand the whole thing of reward. They just want to come and listen to them. There is a lot that can be done. Somebody goes and says, do you know, I know the school, I know the master, I know the what, I know the director. So then you come and tell me that, no, there is a door open here. Then we go and minister in that door. I'm giving you clues. Do you know that's how we set up dominion? And in other things, there was a lady who used to listen to our shows, and she's in charge of this national prayer breakfast. Huh? So she was trying to panga for me to be the keynote speaker at the national prayer breakfast. And okay, it did not happen, of course, but I at least appreciated that she was, because they were supposed to call MPs and they were supposed to speak about a spirit of excellence from the book of Daniel. Okay? So she said, I know somebody who knows that thing. Of course, they didn't accept me because I think, I don't know. Actually, the time wasn't right for it. Eh? But the person whom they brought does not know even half of what I know about Daniel. Eh? But that's okay. The time for that will come. But the point is, at least she tried to use her place. Although it failed. Eh? But there was an attempt to use her place to push this thing. Amen? But there are some people here who do nothing. And by the way, now let me tell you. Eh? When, on the day of the rapture, these people who receive the Lord, eh? And you just start living for yourself after you receive the Lord, you will get there and you will regret. Actually, that book of that Rick Joyner said they are the most miserable people. Because you see, you receive, okay, you're in heaven, and you know, but there is that thing of what could have been. Do you understand? Eh? Where you just made a conscious decision, I'm going to heaven, it's okay. So you lived on earth. And then now when you get there, your whole life, eh, whatever life you had on earth, which is even miserable anyway, is like a dream. You understand? Eh? Now the whole reality is before you. Then you say, I wish I'd done this. Yet there are simple things you can do. Simple things. From your positions. And you say, we can do this. We can do this. Simple things. And they actually spread the kingdom. And your father will reward you. Because the whole world runs on deception. Now, if somebody can warn people and tell them, now you imagine these things that we talk about here, which some of you take for granted. Now, I tell them to even people who are men of God. And the other day I was telling it to a man of God. And the guy sat down and even wanted to cry. He said, these people have taken over, man. Like, you know, Now, for you, take these things for granted because you come and listen to the watchman and so on. But the reality is that when I told him about these brain net things and how they are going to connect and how they can do what, the guy sat down, even put down his cup of coffee, and it even got cold. And he looked at me, and it's like I was an alien. But you see, when people understand the plot of the enemy, that it's difficult for them to be deceived. But all these people, they're saying the teenagers will love it. They will love it because they have not been told the truth. They have been prepared for the mark of the beast using movies. Some of the movies which are being churned out today, man, are just shocking. Absolutely shocking. And you know they are preparing people for something. Now, the other day I was watching with my wife, but the movie, what was it called? Get Out. The one for which the other Daniel Kaluuya guy was nominated for Oscar. And man, they call it a psychological horror. Now, I never even heard of that kind of movie. Psychological horror. Where this Bazungu family know how to hypnotize blacks. They have a daughter who goes and gets a black boyfriend. They takes them home to meet her parents. Then they hypnotize them and they take out their consciousness and then replace it with consciousness of a Mzungu who is probably old and wants a younger body. In one case, one was blind and wanted. And it looks like it's just some kind of fiction. It is not. It is not. They actually remove. Now, let me tell you, this thing in the spirit world, these things absolutely happen. Like, they get somebody. Now, sometimes they don't even want the body. They want the spirit. There's a lady I know who was dating some Muslim guy, some rich Muslim guy who is, who was a top witch. Anyhow. But practices that stuff. Now, for her, she didn't know that she's prophetic. But for him, he knew. So what they do is they get somebody like that. Because remember, that prophetic spirit is given by God. So you either have it or you don't have it. Now, if you don't have it and you want to go high in the ranks of the spirit, they get, especially ladies, and the guy comes and shows you love, flowers and what, but he wants your spirit. Then he takes you and puts you in some home, because this is a rich guy. He puts you in some home and you have everything you want. But he kusiranyas you there and takes your spirit. How does he do it? You can see somebody. Then he starts rising up in the what? In the spirit ranks. But he's using that ability which God gave, which he has drained from you. Using it. But he can only do it when he has subdued you. You understand? So, somehow, she came to me. And then she was telling me she's dreaming this thing. I'm dreaming these things. So I said, okay, I'm going to set you free. Now the guy came for me. The guy came for me, and I didn't know what battles I was fighting, but I was fighting. Then later on, I got to know. I told her, but why is this? Then she told me, okay, I know what it is about. There's this guy who I was dating. I said, okay, you should have told me, because it's easier to fight when you know what you're fighting. Anyhow, to cut a long story short, I cut her off that crap. But you know, they lure you into some corner, give you a nice car over what? And so you're driving a Kia and what? But somebody is using your spirit to go places. And he cannot have it because God did not give it to him. Now, you think those things are weird. They are true. They're happening. I'm talking about Kampala City. And all they need is a point of contact. And if you do not go to a higher spiritual authority, like her, they mess you up. All they need is a point of contact. Somebody will come and give you, your birthday. Then you get excited. And the guy goes and, Now, for her, they gave her a ring. A ring. And I actually had to pick that thing prophetically. I told her, I saw that guy gave it. Because I was trying to disconnect, there is a connection. You're trying to disconnect, there is a connection. Now, by the way, these ring things, some of you, the spirit world is very... Now, so... Like, somebody gives you a good ring and, you forget it's on your finger and you go ahead. And that is his point of contact. So even when I'm trying to disconnect, there is a connection. So I said, what's the problem? Then I had to pick it. I said, but I see he gave you something. Did he give you something like an ornament or what? She said, yeah, he gave me this ring. I said, yeah, now I know. Throw the ring away. The minute she threw it away, she was disconnected. Now, of course, like, don't get me wrong. Eh? If any of those things happen, we have power to just disconnect. Eh? You understand? Eh? But then also you have to be careful. You don't just go, somebody will come and gives you something. There are things which, especially things which, it will not be something edible because that goes into your bowels and goes where you know it. Eh? But something which is going to be on you, eh? Like they like rings, eh? Because the ring, pew, it's there on you. So now that's where the world is going in the spiritual realm. Now they're even acting movies. Now when they come, when those things become mainstream, people's minds will be ready for it because I've seen it in a movie. And the movie even had an Oscar nomination. So it doesn't sound weird. But you see, for us, you come with something spiritual, then the very first people to fight you are your own. Because it sounds weird. But for them, they prepare people's minds. Whew. Release something, release something, release something. And now they are releasing blockbusters very fast, one after the other, one after the other. And it's all preparing the world for the mark of the beast. Praise the Lord. So now you people are going to learn how to exercise dominion. Amen? You're going to learn how to exercise dominion. And exercising dominion starts with the decisions you make in whatever amount of power that you have. And now let me tell you this. If you advance the kingdom with the power, that little power that you have, God is going to advance you so that you have more power. Because it's in the best interest of His kingdom that you are higher and even higher. Because those who are faithful in little will be faithful in what? In much. And will be entrusted with much. Okay? So don't leave this religious thing of, you know, no, according to our what, you know, we do not, these are the rules of our association, of our company. They are rules of the kingdom of God. What is your company? Like, allegiance has to be to the kingdom first. Praise the Lord. Before it is, you have paying allegiance to any boss, any company, any what, the state or what, allegiance has to be number one to the kingdom of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Pray in tongues, everybody. Take a moment to reflect on what area you are going to be an instrument of the kingdom of God and of dominion in that place. Just think about it. Think about what decision you do to bring about this thing. There's somebody called Chisitu here. Or you know somebody called Chisitu or something like that who is close to you or related to you. You know somebody called Chisitu? Is he called Daniel? The one I want is called Daniel. You know Daniel Chisitu? Who is he to you? Come, let's pray for it. He's just your friend. Eh? Praise the Lord. You want to be a point of contact for him? What does he do? In the name of Jesus, you tell him that there is like a promotion coming to him, but it's going to be hinged on what I spoke here today. You just told him a bit of what I spoke here today. Okay? And if he connects with that, there's going to be, you know specifically what I'm talking about. There's going to be a promotion. Amen. He's a slender guy. Eh? Really small. Eh? Actually, he likes end time things. Eh? You go and yeah? I know. Eh? I can see that, like in him, eh? And he's going to play a key role in some of these things we are doing. Eh? Amen. So you go and speak to him and tell him that his promotion is hinged on this thing, and it's a dominion promotion, and it will involve him being in a position of real authority. A deputy something, where he can influence. You tell him that. How close are you? Not very close.
Not so close. A remnant friend.
Okay.
Yes.
A good friend. Okay. Never mind. Hallelujah. Okay. Let me pray for you. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you because I thank you because your people receive this, your heart, that we shall go out there and we shall have our foot in every place.
Now, every place that we trade, you've given to us. In the name of Jesus, now we plant a flag wherever you are in that organization. Now go and plant the flag of the kingdom of God and of this revolution. And that flag, plant it spiritually, not a real flag. And say that now we plant a flag in this place, and so shall you see the dominion of God in that place. And if you're faithful in that, then your authority shall increase, because you've stood up for the kingdom and for the purpose of God in this time. Now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you understand this is the heart of God for this moment, and that you will connect to it. And you shall not be a hearer of the word, but you shall be a doer of the word. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you, because I speak a blessing upon these people. I speak an authority upon them. I release them, Father, to go and spread the authority of the kingdom, that in all their places where they go, and in the places where they work, and even in schools and in places like that, their authority increases in the name of Jesus, and they shall be faithful to this call here today. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Asanas has something to say.
Praise God. Briefly, I remember last Friday, when they called out media, I know all of us noticed, but they just left. And I went and asked God, why did you call out media in times just now? And this was his response. Okay, I'm going to put it this way. Now, anybody who was called last Friday, just collect yourself as media, and there's something he's going to do in you. Because if you look at the people they called in front, they didn't prophesy to some people. And your answer, you had got the answer here, because you wanted to identify with them. So you wanted some people to act, and some to edit what you're writing. And I was wondering why there was a delay in writing a script. Just because you needed someone to back you up, and the answer was with you. So collect yourself, and you will see the results, because all the actors you are looking for are here. And there's something impressed on me yesterday about medical team. I didn't understand why, but if you are a doctor or a medical practitioner in this place right now, I don't know whether we should call them in front, or because you have identified yourselves and you are going to be a thing that is going to bring out the system. We are not looking into Uganda. Uganda is a small thing. But this is what impressed on me. It embothered me entire day, and I'm like, God, why are you putting it on me? Why are you putting it on me so heavy? So if you are a medical practitioner, please, first come forward. There's something God does for you. If you're a medical practitioner, please come forward. And I'm just going to ask you, you're not going to leave just because you have identified yourselves. One, after us gathering here, don't rush home. First, identify yourselves, and there's something God wants to do with medical team. Because he put it on me yesterday, I didn't understand until he talked about it today, and I didn't pick it anything, but this is what he wants you to do. One, gather yourselves, and one of you is going to bring out the new thing that God wants to put, And it's out of this network that you're going to break, quote my words, you're going to pull down the system that has been in place. If you are willing, if you are not willing, please, first go off. If you are willing, next 3 weeks, we want the results from you. Because you're going to give us a report of where you are. Amongst yourselves, and you'll know what God wants for you. Who is studying amongst us? Who is studying? There's something he wants to do in education, but in medical. No one? Thank you. I was even seeing you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I don't want you to look at this. You know one thing why I don't like, because I'd been given this opportunity to prophesy afterwards. I didn't want why. you just take it like for granted. Why should God call out these people? I want to go back and find out, why did he call out these people? What role do they have in your life? Why are we here? Why are we under watchman? Because watchman is a move of God, and he has chosen the man of God to lead this move. Why are we here? It's not a matter of just prophesying to these people and us identifying them that yes, they are practitioners. No. What are you going to do with them? Because it's us as a family. You have something that we can dislodge. They are the ones who are going to use and bring in as many as possible. Thank you, Father. What are you doing? By the way, if you are still studying and you're in medical, come forward. If you're a student, come forward. A student, they want you to come forward. Thank you, Jesus. He's doing what? They want you. Because, thank you, Father. Hold my hands. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Why is this? Because he has taken the end times just now. And you are going to be taken into the system. But you're also going to do the medical work. We're not taken there. It's not just for you to be there for yourself. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. He has released the word. I can't speak more than what he has done, but I've just given you the clue. Get to know yourselves. Don't live here without identifying yourselves. He's a student and maybe needs what you guys have. And you are the answers to yourself. You have all questions among yourselves and are the answers to that question. And the dominion is going to be, that system is going to be brought down. Amen. That's what he told me yesterday. So identify yourselves and go with it. Thank you.
First, wait. The Lord has been impressing on me so much about medicine. Remember when I told you about the Rockefellers and what? About all that fake thing. Something new has to come out of all this thing. So now, I'm glad that he has picked it also, because I've been having a serious burden on the whole medical field and how it is. It has turned out into like some kind of devil's field to keep people in bondage. Now, a revolution comes out of, like in every other thing, comes out of you guys here in Uganda, in that field. So now you just identify each other and see how you can form some kind of dominion thing. You know, dominion is people working together. What do you do? This one does what? You know, different fields in your medical thing. So take that thing seriously, because the whole medical thing has to be turned around. Do you understand? And now when you... Now let me tell you this. There will be unique cures which some of you will receive by revelation. And cures, not symptom suppressants, like what you were taught in your medical schools. Real cures, where you dream up something and you go and try it out and it creates a cure. So just open your spirit for that thing. Because the Lord has been impressing on me so much about the medical. I even went and did a lot of study. I'm just saying that to emphasize his word. I went and did a lot of study, and Dr. Richard has had me speaking, and it's almost like I hate doctors, because like it was impressed on me that, man, why, like, it's all been messed up. You understand? But something fresh is coming out of you people. Amen? And it will come from the spirit, where you get unique cures. Okay? Even for things which are not necessarily medical. For instance, I'm hearing for baldness. Chiwarata. Like, you do something, you get something, you get it by dream, and suddenly, people here who have biwarata are running to you. That does not include me. Because I have all my hair. Praise the Lord. But it's not a joking subject. So please pursue this thing. The Lord is going to pull out something out of you, something fresh, from out of a fallen system. God bless you. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you because for the connection with which your children have connected with this word. Now I pray, Heavenly Father, that everybody who connects sees an impact in whichever field. I thank you, Heavenly Father, because nobody is left behind in this dominion move. I thank you, Heavenly Father, because things rise out of here. Revelation. In different areas, in businesses. I thank you, Father, because somebody here today has determined that when he gets a job, when he gets a good job, he will be a conduit for this domination. And now, Father, you've heard his vow, and in the name of Jesus, you are going to make it happen for him. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father. Because even people have thought up the ideas that have come through your mind as I was speaking about dominion. Some of you in business, in areas, places, somebody in real estate. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because the vow that you've made here today has been heard by the Father, and he will open up those doors for you, that dominion might be a reality in your life. And if you are faithful, it will grow and grow and grow. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I bless your name, oh Father. I bless your name. I bless your name. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, for increase in every area of our lives. In the name of Jesus. Somebody in the dominion in music. In music. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you. Something fresh comes out. Some revelation comes in that area as well. And a few people here, that is their area. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. The Watchman, the King is coming.